Welcome to the Shir in Svarno, Parshas Tzav. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Harry and Etta Packer, marking the yard site tonight of her mother, Rezel Bas Harav Shimon Mordechai, the Neshama should have an Aliyah, see much nachas ruach of the Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the family are involved in. One of the basic questions one has when taking a look at Parshas Tzav is that Parshas Tzav, at least for the first half of Parshas Tzav, seems to be in many ways a repeat of Parshas Vayikra. Parshas Vayikra lays out the various different types of korbanos, talks about the korban olah, korban mincha, korban shlamim, korban chatos, korban asham. They're laid out with their respective laws. And then when we turn to Parshas Tzav, the first half of Parshas Tzav seems to just review these various different korbanos, adding some new material, some new halachos and the like, but seems to be a repeat. If you take a look, the Parsha opens up, Tzavis Aram v'yasbanov leimar zos toras ha'ola, this is the law concerning the korban ola, and then a little bit later on, v'zos toras ha'mincha, this is the halachas that pertain to the mincha. A little bit later on, Pasuk Yudches, Zos Toras HaChatos. This is the halacha of the Chatos. Beginning of Perek Zayin, Zos Toras HaOsham. Then Yud Aleph in that same Perek, Zos Toras Zevach HaShlamim. And it seems a little bit odd. In other words, if these are halachas that pertain to the various different karbonos, so we went through the different karbonos in last week's Sedra in Vayikra, why not merge the two? Why not talk about all of the halachos of the chatos in one place and all of the halachos of the asham in one place, etc.? Why does there seem to be the second sedra that goes back over the various different karbanos, going through them once again and discussing them from a different vantage point? What is the different vantage point that's being discussed in Parshas Tzav? So the Svarno, right in the beginning of the sedra, tackles this question and he presents the following. After in Parshas Vayikra, the Torah had described the Maisa HaKorbanos, the manner in which the Korbanos are sacrificed, Omar HaTorah Horauya L'chol Echad VeEchad. After having gone through the Maisa, the way in which the Korbanos are brought, Parshas Tzav teaches the Torah that is important for each one. And here the Svarno is picking up on the fact that the phrase Zos Toras, this is the Torah of the Ola, the Mincha, the Chatos, the Asham, the Shlomim, is a phrase that recurs over and over again in Parshas Tzav, but not in Parshas Vayikra. So there's the Maisa HaKorbanos, the manner in which the Korbanos are carried out, which is Vayikra, and then there's the Toras HaKorbanos, the Torah associated with the Korbanos, which is Parshas Tzav. Okay, sounds very brisk, but what does it mean? Okay, the Torah of the Korbanos. So he goes on to explain. Asher bo romaz chelek iyuni bohem. Here, in Parshas Tzav, the Torah is hinting at the chelek iyuni, the conceptual aspect of each of the Korbanos. If we had to explain that, again, we'll try to explain it a little bit more as we go through the Svarno. It seems like the Svarno is saying the following. Parshas Vayikra is a how-to guide. You want to bring a korban olah? Fine, this is what you got to do. Step A, step B, step C. But beyond just appreciating how to bring the korban, which the manual, so to speak, which is Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Tzav is teaching us the deeper concepts which are associated with the korban. If you want to bring the korban, per se, you really don't have to learn Parshas Tzav. Parshas Tzav isn't going to tell you any new mechanisms about how to bring the korban. It's not going to teach you any new methods about how the korban should be brought. But Parshas Tzav will teach you the Toras HaKorban. It will teach you the conceptual underpinnings of the korban. I can be a car, Lahavdil, I can be a car mechanic. I can know what to do in order to fix the car. And then I can understand on a more conceptual level the physics that makes the car work. So, you know, number one is Vayikra. Again, Lahavdil. But number one is Vayikra. And Parshas Tzav is more the conceptual underpinnings of how the korbanos work. And those elements of the carbon are so separate that it would not make sense to simply merge Parshios, Vayikra, and Tzav together and just talk about everything having to do with the Chatos, for instance. No. First we talk about the mechanics of how to bring a Chatos, and then the second Sedra is dedicated to the concepts that are involved behind bringing a Chatos. With this conceptual model, which the Sfarno draws for us, perhaps we can understand on a little bit of a deeper level a statement of Chazal that I think most of us are familiar with, but the Sfarno's approach over here, I think, gives us a little bit of a deeper understanding into this Maimer Chazal. So, it's a famous Gemara. Gemara says that by the Brisbane Absarim, Avram Avinu asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Ba'moedaki Roshena, how will I, you know, in what schus will we merit, will the Jewish people merit to inherit Eretz Yisrael?" And basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to Avram Avinu is b'schus ha-karbonos, and the merit of bringing karbonos, the Jewish people will merit Eretz Yisrael. So asks Avram Avinu to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's fine and dandy when there's a Beis HaMikdash and when we bring karbonos. But what happens when there's no Beis HaMikdash and we're not bringing karbonos? So the Ribbono Shel Olam answers Avram Avinu, when you learn the parshios that deal with the karbonos, it's as if you brought them. Of course, we know that part of that Maimer Chazal is what motivates us on a daily basis to recite the Parshios of the Karbanos in the morning. In other words, by reciting these sections of Torah, it's as if, on some level, we're actually bringing the Karbanos. So ordinarily, I think the way we understand that is that, like many aspects of Torah, if we're not zocha to carry out the mitzvah directly, we can nonetheless connect to the mitzvah through limud ha-Torah, learning the halachos, learning the hashkafos that are relevant to that particular mitzvah. But perhaps it's something that's unique to karbanos, and perhaps it's something, the basic idea of which is outlined by the Sfarno over here, and that's as follows. It's not I think we're accustomed to think that there's the real performance of the mitzvah of karbanos, which is to actually bring the karban. And then if you can't do the real thing, so the substitute is to learn about it. Okay, Nebuch, we can't bring the karban itself, so at least we'll learn about bringing the karban. But perhaps that's overly simplified. Perhaps the real mitzvah itself has two dimensions, as the Sfarno is saying. Even when the karban was brought, there was one dimension of bringing the karban, and there was a second dimension of delving into the idea behind the karban. In fact, the Sfarno said something similar to that back in Parashas Vayikra, where the Sfarno said that it's not enough to simply bring the karban. This person has to inculcate within himself the values the karban is meant to teach him. Again, we spoke about this last week. The person has to have a sense of contrition, of hachna'a, in order for the karban to be meaningful. And that's the Sfarno says, that's pshat in the pasuk in Hosea, uneshalma parim sfoseinu. Not that our lips will replace the karbanos, but our lips will be mashlim. They will complete the karbanos. The karbon is not complete until we've inculcated in ourselves the ideas behind the karbon. So even when the karbon is brought, there are, so to speak, two dinim in the way the karbon is brought. There's Parshas Vayikra, there's the mechanics of bringing the karbon, and there's Parshas Tzav, which is the concepts behind bringing the karbon. And even when you're bringing the karbon, it's not complete unless you have both Vayikra and Tzav. Oh, so if that's the case, when we lack a Beis HaMikdash, it's true that we can't fulfill Parshas Vayikra, but according to the Sfarno's understanding, it's still possible to fulfill Parshas Tzav. When we learn about the karbanos, it's not simply a substitute for bringing the karbanos. It's that out of the two dimensions of bringing the karban, we can't fulfill one, but we are able to fulfill the other. And that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam told Avraham Avinu. Even when there's a no Beis HaMikdash and you're not physically able to bring the karbanos, you can't fulfill Parshas Vayikra, but as long as you learn about the karbanos, it's okay, you're getting 50%. You're still getting the Parshas Tzav aspect of the bringing of the karbanos,
which is not something to be dismissed lightly. Again, obviously it would be better if we had 100%, but 50% is something as well. The Toras Ha'olah, the Toras Ha'chatos, etc., all of these things which are described in Parshas Tzav. So, okay, with that hakdama, with that introduction, let's see some of the actual things that the Sfarno says. The Ein Sofik, there's no doubt, Ki Yesh Hevdel Rav Ben Bnei Kel Choy, that there is vast differences between the sons of the living God, a reference to the Jewish people based on Apostolic and Hosea. In other words, even between two Jews, there could be vast differences bepeulo sehem, in their actions, v'kavano sehem, and with regard to their intentions. Dome la hevdel asher bein mine hakorbanos. And that difference that can exist between two Jews insofar as their actions and their kavanos can be as vast as the differences between different karbanos themselves. What's he saying in this line? I think what he's saying in this line is as follows. Since the Torah of the karbanos is an integral part of the karbanos themselves, so when it comes to Parshas Vayikra, carrying out what you need to do in order to make the karban work, so everybody's pretty much the same in terms of that. There isn't a grade A way to bring the carbon, a grade B way to bring the carbon. Okay, there's a methodology to bring the carbon. But when it comes to Parshas Tzav, the Torah of the carbon, and understanding and delving into what the carbon means and its significance, so here there can be a vast difference between different people, different Jews, in terms of their level of understanding. And you know, here it's possible to talk about different levels of being able to bring the carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more understanding of the carbon you have, the more complete the action of bringing the carbon actually is. So he writes as follows. The parasha starts off talking about the Ola. The Hizkir Ba'Ola, it says regarding the Ola, Shekula Al HaMizbeach L'Reach Nichoach. The entirety of the Karban Ola is burnt on the Mizbeach L'Reach Nichoach as something that's accepted as a sweet smell before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Omnam, however, K'tzatza Ola B'Lav HaMizbeach, some of the Ola goes up in the flame on the top of the Mizbeach, it's consumed by the fire. V'Amar Shehi HaOla Be'emes. And the Torah tells us that that part of the Karban Ola, which is consumed by the fire, is the quintessential Karban Ola. It's the true Karban Ola. What's he getting at over here? So there's this very strange pasuk that starts off Parshas Tzav. Zos Toras HaOla. This is the Torah of the Ola, of the burnt offering. He HaOla Al Mokta Al Hamizbeach Kol Halayla Ad Haboker. This is the burnt offering that stays on the pyre, on the altar, all of the night until the morning. Ve'esh Hamizbeach Tukad Bo. And the fire of the altar burns that carbon ola, that burnt offering. The whole pasuk just seems superfluous and extraneous. Zos Toras HaOla. This is the halacha of the Ola. By the way, in case you forgot what an Ola is, you know, it's been a long time since last Shabbos. If you forgot what an Ola is, this carbon Ola is on the Mizbeach the whole night and it's being burned by the fire. It's such a seemingly extraneous phrase, you know, or series of phrases in the Pasuk. What's the Pasuk getting at? What's even harder to understand is the continuation of the next Pasuk. The Torah goes on to tell us the halacha of the trumas hadeshen, taking of the ashes and placing a small portion of the ashes on the floor at the side of the mizbeach. I thought you were talking about the ola. You're talking about the ola, then all of a sudden you switch gears, you're talking about the ashes, the trumas hadeshen. What's going on over here? I just don't understand the flow of psukim. So comes the Sfarno very beautifully, and he says as follows. Well, the Pasuk is not telling us any new halachas, per se. It's helping us understand the concept of a Karban Ola. The Ola has, even though the entire Ola is burnt on the Mizbeach, the Ola itself has different components. The most essential part of the Ola is the part which is actually going to be burned and consumed by the fire. And that's the first pasuk. Zos Taras HaOla. You want to understand the Ola? Hi HaOla HaMokto Al Mizbeach Kol HaLayla V'Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. The part of the Ola. It's not just identifying the Ola. But you should know, the part of the Ola that matters most, that is ultimately acceptable before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the part that's on the pyre of the Mizbeach the entire night. V'Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo, and the fire of the Mizbeach burns it. That's the essential, the quintessential Ola. The quintessential part of the Ola. But then there's another part of the Ola as well, because not all of the Ola is burned up and consumed in the fire. Part of the Karban Ola is transformed into ashes. And goes on the Sfarno to say, Mimeno Eitzel HaMizbeach, a portion of that Karban Ola ends up next to the Mizbeach. It's not burned on the Mizbeach itself. Uhu HaDeshen, it's the ashes. The ashes are what are left over from the Karban Ola Shobein HaArbayim, the Talmud Shobein HaArbayim, which was burning into the night. So those ashes, Shiesh Bo Ksas Lachluchis, there's a little bit of moisture in those ashes. Bo'ofen Sheho'esh Bo'eres Bo, it did pass through the fire. Im Oso Achelek HaOla Be'emes, and those ashes were together with the portion that was consumed entirely. Ka'amro Hadeshin Asher Tochal Ho'esh Es HaOla. Right? As the pasuk goes on to say that the Kohen takes Hadeshin Asher Tochal Ho'esh Es HaOla. He takes the ashes which were consumed by the fire, Es HaOla, together with the essence of the Karban Ola. So the Deshen, the ashes, are a secondary component of the Karban Ola. And those are placed on the side of the Mizbeach. Uksas Mimena, and then some of those ashes, or some of those, a certain part of the Karban Ola, Vahu Adeshen HaGamur, the complete ashes, the ashes which are totally dried out. Yotziuhu El Michutz LaMachana B'Vgadim Pchusim. That's taken by the Kohen outside Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Mishkan, while wearing lesser clothing. That's what the pasuk refers to a little bit later on. Ufashat es begodav velovash begodim acherim vehotzi es adeshin amechutz lamachana al makom tahar. Right, the Kohen changes into big day kahuna, which are not as expensive as the first ones he wore. He carries the deshen outside of the mikdash. That's referred to as the hotzoas hadeshen, the clearing out of the ashes. Nonetheless, mikom makom yeh motzal o makom tor. Nonetheless, it has to be taken out to a holy place. What's the Sfarno driving at with all of this? So the Sfarno is basically saying as follows. The Torah is coming at the very beginning and saying, I want you to understand the Toras HaOla. I want you to understand some of the concepts that are associated with the Ola. One would think, reading Parshas Vayikra, that a Karban Ola is offered up to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's entirely consumed, and that's it. In many ways, it's the simplest of Karbanos. Other Karbanos, part of it is on the Mizbeach, part of it goes to the Kohanim, part of it goes to the owners. The Ola is very, very simple. It's all consumed on the Mizbeach. Yes and no. Comes Parshas Tzav and says, there are aspects of the Karban Ola which are not as sacred as the essential Ola. Yes, the essential Ola is burned and totally goes up in flames. And that is the part of the Ola which is most desirable by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are two other parts of the Karban Ola. There's the Deshen, the ash which is still somewhat wet, which on a daily basis is placed on the side of the Mizbeach, the Trumas HaDeshen. And then there's the deshen, the ash, which dries out after an extended period of time, and periodically is cleared out by the Kohen and taken out of the Beis HaMikdash altogether. That's also part of the Ola. Not all of the Ola will become ash, which is placed on the side of the Mizbeach. Even within the Ola itself, there are three levels of importance that which is burned, that which is placed on the side of the Mizbeach, and that which ultimately is carried out of the Makom HaMikdash itself. They're all part of the Ola. And the fact that the Torah lumps them together in one paragraph and seamlessly moves from discussing the Ola to the Trumas HaDeshen to the Hotzoras HaDeshen is to indicate that they're all part of the Karban Ola. Okay, good. So they're part of the Karban Ola. So what do I take away from that? So the Sfaro doesn't elaborate. But I think perhaps one could elaborate in the following way. And again, bearing in mind that the Sfarno understands that Parshas Tzav is about not just learning halachas, but going into the concepts behind the karbanos. The lesson the Torah wants to teach us with the beginning of Parshas Tzav and the Torah Sa'ola is that even that which is most sacred, only a portion of it ascends to the Ribono Shel Olam. There are always non-essential aspects of everything in Avodas Hashem, even that which is the most sacred. You figure, what could be more directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu than a carbon? It's kula kolil. It all goes up in flames to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's all ruchnius. It's all spirituality. Not exactly. Even that carbon, which is kula ruchni, which is all spiritual, there are secondary aspects of that carbon and tertiary aspects of that carbon that, you know, are not as sacred as the essential aspect of the carbon. There's the ashes on the side of the Mizbeach and the ashes that are taken out and removed from Beis HaMikdash altogether. It's as if the Torah is telling us that in every endeavor in Avodas Hashem, in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are always going to be mundane aspects. And that's okay. Even Karban Ola has a certain degree of mundane aspects that are associated with it. A person wants to, again, just to give an example, a person says he wants to sit and learn all night. I mean, it's beautiful, it's ruchni, it's spiritual. All right, but there are mundane aspects to that too. You know, you have to make arrangements to be able to stay up. You have to, maybe you have to have a cup of coffee. Maybe you have to have 5 cups of coffee to be able to stay up. Maybe you have to stick your feet in cold water. There are all kinds of mundane little aspects of every endeavor in Avodas Hashem, you know, even the most sublime, even the most ruchni, that are going to be simple, mundane, everyday, seemingly not deserving of our attention, and that's okay the way life is. Even the Karban Ola has deshen, has ashes that are produced in the process of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and dedicating the Karban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most extreme way which is possible. So that's the Torah Ha'ola. That's the first example here in the Sedra of the Torah associated with one of the Karbanos. The Parsha goes on to talk about the Torah HaMincha. That's the next paragraph, beginning Pasuk Zayin. V'zos Torah HaMincha. Hizkir Torah B'mincha. So we already learned what a Korban Mincha is back in Parshas Vayikra. Now we're going to learn the Torah, the deeper concepts behind the Mincha. V'omar shiagishu kulo lifnei Hashem el pnei ha-mizbeach. The first thing that the Torah tells us is Rev Osa b'nei Aaron lifnei Hashem el pnei ha-mizbeach. Before doing anything, the Kohanim have to bring the Mincha in its entirety to the Mizbeach. Rashi writes, Hakrev Osa, hi hagosha. This is referring to taking the Mincha, bringing it physically to the Mizbeach. Now the truth is, a portion of the Mincha is going to be placed on the Mizbeach. The Pasuk goes on to say, V'heirim imenu b'kumtso, misolas ha-mincho mishamno, v'hikter ha-mizbeach. The Kohen goes, he scoops up in his fingers a small portion of the mincha, he places that on the mizbeach. And yet, the entire mincha has to be brought to the mizbeach, even though a small portion of it alone is actually going to be placed on the mizbeach. Why is that necessary? Logistically, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Prepare the mincha, keep the mincha wherever, and then just take the komets, take the little portion of it and bring it to the mizbeach. Why is there a need for hagosha, for bringing the mincha in its entirety to the mizbeach? Explains the Sfarno,
While it's true that most of the mincha is going to be consumed by the kohanim, but the way to view the mincha is not supper for the kohanim with a little bit of a kometz given to Hashem. It's not lehavdil, like hafroshes challah. Hafroshes challah, the way we look at it, is that you made a big dough, the dough you're going to use yourself, and a little bit of the dough you'll take off, you'll give to the kohen. That's not the way it works by a mincha. It's not that we're taking off a little bit and giving it to Hashem. The whole thing is really brought to Hashem. The one who's bringing the karbon wants to give the karbon in its entirety to Hashem. I, the kohanim, will end up eating most of it. Kohanim mishulchan gavoa kozachu. As the Gemara says in Masechta Beitza, when the kohanim get that portion, or most of the mincha, as being theirs, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them the mincha from Hashem's own table. It's not as if the mincha belongs primarily to the kohanim. The mincha belongs to Hashem. And Hashem, in His graciousness, says, you know what? This whole thing is really mine, but I'll keep a kometz, and then the rest of it you kohanim can have. They're getting the mincha from the Ribbono Shel Olam Himself. So how do you indicate that? By bringing the mincha in its entirety up to the Mizbeach. That's the concept. That is a hashkafa. It's a halacha, but it indicates a hashkafa behind the way we look at the Karban Mincha. V'shechelek mu'at mikula hu anivchar l'reach nicholach. We're taught that it's that small kometz which is brought up on the Mizbeach, which is considered the Reach Nicholach, that which is truly desirable to Hashem. V'shechelek ha-kohanim gam hu mechaper. And yet the portion which is eaten by the kohanim will bring about a kapara, will bring about an atonement as well. So understanding this dynamic, in that the entire mincha is brought to Hashem, and then Hashem, as it were, gives most of it back, with the exception of the kometz, is the Torah HaMincha, which needs to be explicated over here so we have a better understanding of what it is that the mincha achieves. As Hashem will pick up tomorrow, going through the other toros, the Torah HaChatos, the Torah HaAshem, the Torah HaShlamim, and we'll get a better sense of what the Svarna wants us to understand in Parshas Tzav. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.